who needed to be in worship this morning. So it's good to have you all with us. Emily and I want to thank you for all your prayerful support at this time. We are glad to be back in Ohio. It has been a difficult couple months for us, that's for sure. But because of the prayers and support of so many people, has been so meaningful. The prayers, the cards, the food, the letters that we have received from people have truly touched our hearts, and we appreciate it. It's been a tough time, but we have been uplifted because we know where Emily's dad is, and he's with his Heavenly Father, and we can rejoice in that. Our hearts are definitely heavy, but we have much to celebrate. A few announcements before we get started. Please don't forget that right after worship, we have our town hall and birthday cake Sunday as we celebrate birthdays and anniversary. Please join us for that. We have a lot of good information to share with you that I think will be very beneficial to you. Thanks to all who helped with our quarter auction. We appreciate all that, all that showed up, who cooked, who gave away items. It really was very helpful. Please don't forget Monday night will be Bob Evans Fellowship Night. You're welcome to join us there. Tuesday night, this will be the second opportunity that our spiritual companioning group will get to meet. And that group will meet from 6:30 to 7:30, and we will eat an optional meal together that you can bring from 6 to 6:30. So if you want to join us for a meal, come at 6. If you just want to come for the spiritual companioning part of that, come at 6:30. CEC will meet on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. A spaghetti lunch on Sunday, October 7th. For Ryder Argento. Ryder is the grandson of Matt Stevens, who is a very dedicated member of Dover, very involved with our Tar Hollow camping system. That will take place at the Dover Memorial Hall, 11:30 to 1:30. So that will be next Sunday. A great opportunity to help a young kid who's been in need. He's had about, I think he's had 2 open heart surgeries already, and he's got a couple more on the book. So anything we can do to help that family would greatly be appreciated. And then please don't forget that, I'm sorry, it's me. Please don't forget Camp Zimmerman is having a chicken barbecue on Sunday, October 14th from noon to 2:30. If you have any questions about that or would like to get tickets, see Tim Northrup in the back. He'll be happy to help you with that. And the next men's fellowship breakfast will be at Winfield United Methodist on October 20th. Those interested in carpooling can meet at 8:15 at Dover First. And I also have a sign-up sheet. We still need ushers and greeters for October. So if you could please sign up for that, that would be greatly appreciated. Does anybody else have any other announcements? All right, let us stand and greet one another. Morning, Doug. Thanks for mowing, I appreciate it. Morning, Martha, how we doing? Morning, Ron. Are you two my ushers today?
Yep.
That sounds good, all right. You're in charge, Paige. Morning, Norm. Morning, Missy. Morning, Barry. Morning, Audrey, how we doing? Morning, Harley. Morning, Carolyn. Morning, Mary Ann. You may remain seated as we join together in the watchword of the week, and then we will go through our birthdays and anniversaries for September. Or you can sit, that's fine. It's a lazy Sunday. Let us join together in rehearsing Psalm 19, verse 8. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. And before we get started with our prelude, I want to share with you our birthdays and anniversaries for September. Anniversaries, we celebrated Jim and Kathy Cummings on the 4th, Bill and Carolyn Menapace on the 14th, Scott and Melinda Nisley on the 21st, Jason and Letitia Wright on the 25th, and it's not listed, but on the 26th we celebrated Ross and Tiffany Swaldo. Our September birthdays were Joe Northrup, Tiffany Swaldo, Tyler Castor, Amy Pasquinelli, Abby Bennington, Emily Lippert, Melinda Nisley, and Ryan Castor. Let us join together in singing the Moravian birthday hymn as we celebrate all these wonderful birthdays and anniversaries. Quiet our hearts as we enjoy our prelude.
Please stand for the call to worship. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul.
Your hands, O Lord, are true and righteous altogether.
How valuable is God's love poured out for us.
God's love is to be desired more than gold, and it is dearer than money.
Please remain standing as we sing praise to God, hymn number 537.
please turn to the Liturgy of Christian Unity on page 122. Almighty God, you are the one who called this universe into being. Out of nothing, you created everything that is. By your power, you hold together all space and time and substance. By your hands alone, Creator God, the inanimate elements became alive so that we could live and move and have our being. We celebrate life, the precious life you have given us, and we celebrate that you made the mind and emotions, a body and soul, that you want us to enjoy, share with each other. We rejoice in the center of Jesus Christ and all your works, for he was with you from the very beginning and is supreme over all creation. We praise you that Christ can sing
for all things.
Than the whole persons you have called us to be in Christ Jesus until we acknowledge our sins to you, and so we bow before you and pray. Almighty God,
we confess that in Christ you run away and hide from you. We constantly deceive ourselves into thinking that we live without you. We have made idols of our own achievements. We have treated
God, for establishing the church as a single body of interdependent members, each having a place and purpose.
We know that we need each other
and are called to appreciate the great variety of gifts you have given us to you. Help us to rejoice with those who are feeling joy and delight. Help us to sing with those who are seeing your love and grace. Help us to taste the agony of those who are hurting.
Help us to share the burdens of those who are in distress.
Take away jealousy and resentment from our hearts when we see others achieving success.
Fill us in the spirit of unity and peace, and let us see and feel and know that we all belong to you, through the grace we have received.
Teach us to know and love the worldwide church called out of all peoples and nations. Make visible the unity that you desire as we express a spirit of reconciliation in all our relationships. Show us that we are part of the one and only body of Jesus Christ, unified by faith, scattered for witness and service. Lead us to appreciate the richness of our diversity and your creative power at work in our various traditions and customs. Make us all one with you by the inspiration and guidance of your Spirit.
Lead us into life worthy of our calling to Christ, with all lowliness, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another in love, and eager to maintain the unity of spirit, bond of peace. We pray for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us pray together for the grace that we need, saying, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Dear God, as we, your people, gather in time and place around this wondrous earth, may we be strengthened by our awareness of one another and unity by our mutual prayers.
Hear us and help us all.
May the variety of traditions and customs of your whole church become a multitude of lights to reveal the good news needed by people everywhere. May the variety of our ministries and service convey your redemptive love and bind us ever closer to one another.
Grant us grace to unite in essentials, to accept diversity in non-essentials, and to love one another in all things.
Thank you, Alicia. We'll be singing, join me all with one accord for our final hymn today as we transition to our town hall. As we turn our attention to our offering today, I remind you that today is a fifth Sunday, so that we will have a second mile offering. And our second miling offering today will go to the Board of World Mission for Hurricane Florence relief. For those of you that know the Moravian Church, you know that North Carolina, Bethlehem, and Winston-Salem are two big hubs. And we have over 40 churches in North Carolina where Florence hit hardest. Fortunately, most of them were not on the ocean side, but on the mountain side of North Carolina. But there are a few Moravian churches. We have one in Wilmington, actually, that was the place that was really hit hard because the hurricane seemed to stay in one place, and it flooded really hard on Wilmington. So the more that we can come to help these people, the better. So we'll do our first offering, and then I'll send the baskets again for our second mile off. Please rise. Let us pray together. Loving God, help us as a people of God to not complain about our blessings like the Israelites complained about the manna in the desert, but help us to pour out our blessings for others. Amen. You may be seated. Before I turn our attention to the prayer concerns that I have listed here, I had a request from Rick Swaldo to address the congregation.
I have received a favorable report from my doctor, and I want to thank everybody for your prayers, your cards, your gifts, and your visits while I was undergoing treatment. Thank you, everybody.
Let's give him a round of applause. That's good news, wonderful news to hear. We continue to pray that all your tests that come back in the future continue to remain negative and you continue to get to enjoy the road of recovery. Some other prayer concerns that we have today. We pray for Tom Northrup, who's been suffering from a lung infection. We pray for Karen Fox, a friend of Linda Bonnell, who has a test for her heart valve replacement. We also pray for the Krebs family in the death of their daughter, Lori. They are cousins to Paula. And we ask for sympathy and resurrection hope to surround them. We also ask for sympathy and resurrection hope for Alberta Mae Passmore, the aunt of Audrey Hahn and Barry. And we know what a loving soul she was. And she passed away on Wednesday, September 26th. And there's a service celebrating her life on Saturday. And we rejoice that her pain is no more. We also wanted to ask prayers of uplifting prayers as we celebrated Emily's father, Warren Toyberg, as he entered the more immediate presence of our Lord and Savior, and we celebrated his life on Wednesday at Chinook Moravian Church. His three sisters did a beautiful song to tribute him, and in typical Toyberg fashion, we had technological difficulties at the service. We were trying to get Emily's grandfather to be able to Skype in from Maine. He wasn't feeling well, so he couldn't make the trip. And so while this was going, we had an impromptu hymn sing during the funeral service. And considering how much Emily's father loved music, and it really was a fitting tribute to him. And we thank you all for your prayers and your well wishes at this time. My wife said it best when she said, "It may pass like a kidney stone, but this time will pass." And we really do believe that. Janet Jenkins, we continue to uphold her in prayer as she continues to recover from heart surgery. We pray for people in Indonesia. Over 800 people have passed away in tsunamis and earthquakes. We pray for their people as they continue on the road to recovery. Also uplift Pastor Brian Dixon, who has accepted the call to Emmaus Moravian, Emmaus, Pennsylvania. Please be in prayer for him and his family, and for the Lake Auburn congregation in Minnesota. Also continue to be in prayer for his wife. Name is escaping me, but she just has been getting cancer treatments, and so they've had good news that they've been able to make this transition, that she's been feeling well enough that this can happen. And I also want to celebrate the opportunity. Emily and I had the opportunity to be in worship at Palmer Moravian this past Sunday, where Pastor Darrell Johnson was installed, and there was not an empty seat in the house. They were actually setting up chairs, and it was just a beautiful worship service. Obviously, the circumstances that brought us out east were difficult, but it really was a joy to see the transitions that were taking place among our church. Let us take a moment to quiet our hearts and invite God into this time of prayer. Loving and gracious God, today we prayed together a prayer of unity. Help us to remember that, Where two or three are gathered, you are there also with us, supporting us, uplifting us, holding us, and comforting us. And we thank you for that comfort, because so many of us have felt pain and suffering recently, or grief. We think especially of the Krebs family, of Audrey Hahn's aunt, of my father, Warren Toyberg. And we think of all the pain and suffering, but we remember that because of your Christian witness, Jesus, because of your willingness to go to the cross, that death is not the final sentence, that life and eternal joy belongs to you and belongs to all of those who welcome you in their hearts. And although we continuously pray for miracles of healing for those who suffer, we realize that at the end of it all, the greatest miracle is to be welcomed home to a place where miracles are no longer needed, into your loving arms. Gracious God, we pray for the sick, the hungry, those in need of faith, love, and friendship. There are so many people in our world who are seeking God. Help them to remember that you are seeking us as much as we are seeking you. And today is also a day to rejoice. We rejoice with Rick Swaldo as he celebrates positive news from his PET scan, and we continue to pray for his road of recovery. We rejoice because there are so many people in our world who are healing, who are getting stronger, who are becoming more loving, compassionate people every day. Help us to be aware of that, even in the midst of suffering, that your joy is in abundance and it can overflow in any time or any place, and we give thanks. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen.
The first scripture lesson can be found in Numbers 11, verses 4 through 6 and 10 through 16, and it can be found on page 103 in your pew Bibles. The rabble with them began to crave other food, and again the Israelites started wailing and said, "If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost, also the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna." Moses heard of the people of every family wailing, each at the entrance to his tent. The Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled. He asked the Lord, "Why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms, as a nurse carries an infant, to the land you promised on oath to their forefathers? Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me, 'Give us meat to eat.' I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you are going to treat me, put me to death right now, if I have found favor in your eyes, and do not let me face my own ruin." The Lord said to Moses, "Bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting, that they may stand there with you."
Our gospel today comes from Mark, the 9th chapter, verses 30 to 37. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were, because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant, and were afraid to ask him about it. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet, because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and servant of all." He took a little child whom he had placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." May the reading of God's holy word reach your heart, your minds, and our actions. Thanks be to God. And let the little children come. Come on up. Let's see what toys and objects you got for me today. Oh, my goodness. Remember, your pastor is a very tired man, so you got to be patient with him. Come on up, Brandon. He's taking the tour. So how's everybody doing today? We're going to talk about a very important word for Christians to do. It's called humility. Does anybody know what it means to be humble? Tyler, you got a guess? You don't what? You don't lie? That's a good way to look at humility. Aubrey? Yeah, sometimes you take credit. You don't always take credit for too much stuff. To be humble means you don't beat your chest. You're not somebody who, you know that person who wins a game and is like, I win, you lose, you stink kind of attitude? That's not what a humble person does. Paige? Yeah, that's why football players, sometimes they got to be the humblest of all, because they can celebrate with the touchdown, and you know what happens the next play? They get knocked on their butt. And so that's why sometimes they got to stay humble and strong. So let me see all your items. Let's bring them out. Let's put them in the middle. So what I want to talk about today is, our scripture verse says, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So what that means is that sometimes the things that we don't appreciate the most are sometimes the things that we should value the most. And so since I just got done watching football last night, we're going to use these people to build the ultimate football team. And so we need a nickname. We got antlers. Maybe the Shenbrun Whitetails, perhaps. We're building the Shenbrun Whitetails now, and this is going to be our football team. And the important thing to remember is that in order to play football, what type of traits do you want a football player? Tyler? Fast? You want him to be fast? What else do you want him to be? Strong? What else, Paige? So they can run quick? Yep, Riley? Always be nice to the other players, yes. Because if they're not, they get roughing the passer penalties that make their passer very angry. Yes, that's very important. So what we're going to do is we talked about speed. Which of these guys look fastest? These little guys, I bet, right? So we got our panda. I'm not sure what, is that a mouse?
That's probably
a lion. Oh, that's from the lion? And we got this little guy right here. These are going to be our receivers and our cornerbacks. Now these guys get a lot of love because they're the quickest down the field. But what do you think would happen if you just had a team full of little people, full of little guys who are fast? What would happen to your team? What would happen when you'd face the strong guys? They would knock you on your butt a few times. That's what would happen. So if you only had the fast and the strong guys, but you need somebody who's smart. You need somebody who's going to be a leader, too. So you take this panda bear and you make him the quarterback of your football team. Why would a panda bear be a good quarterback?
I was actually raising a question.
Oh, okay, you have a question?
It's what?
Cabo panda. Oh, okay. That is, whenever the other team has the ball, you got to get the ball from that team. You're smarter than most defensive coordinators that I know. So, Panda Bear is the quarterback because he's big, he's strong, and he's a leader. He does everything in his community. But you know who's most unappreciated? It's the baby. And now our baby today, this is a pretty big baby compared to the rest of our toys, right? And you know who the most underappreciated person in football is?
The baby.
The baby. It's the Those are the quarterbacks now, but the most underappreciated person is the offensive lineman. Because you know what the offensive line does? They protect everybody. Those receivers don't get to catch the ball. The quarterback does not get to throw the ball without anybody protecting him. And every quarterback who's worth his salt knows that if he doesn't have good offensive linemen protecting for him, he can't do his job. Because they always get through and they take him down. And so that's why we look at Scripture. Sometimes the people you appreciate the least, sometimes they have the most important jobs. And that could be at school. Sometimes somebody you may not think who has an important job at your school might be the janitor. But guess, what do you think would happen to your school if the janitor didn't show up for a week? It'd get pretty stinky, wouldn't it? It'd be a pretty tough place to go to school. And that's why we got to remember that just because we think somebody has a small job or a little job doesn't mean it's an unimportant job. And Jesus says we all have important tasks to do. So when you guys are building your teams at recess, remember you need somebody from every group. You just don't need the smart kids or the fast kids or the strong kids or the kids who are willing to work hard like this baby is willing to get down and dirty, but you need all kids. Right now. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what happened. When I was your age, the same thing happened, and I took a chance. I was one of those kids. I grew up taller than everybody else, so I was on the stronger team. But then I saw this little kid named Sam, who was just this little guy, very small, was a very good soccer player. And it turns out when I picked Sam, nobody could catch Sam. So whenever I gave Sam the ball, he was off like a lightning bolt. And you know what? That taught me a lesson, to never judge anybody by how they look, because they might be the very thing you need. Whether it's a football team, whether you're doing a project at school, or whether you're doing something at home, it could be somebody you can count on. So let's have a moment to pray together. Thank you all for bringing in your objects. Oh, I didn't get Paige. What did you have, Paige? And you got to stretch for God. Remember to stretch. Okay, let's have a moment of prayer. Let's hold hands and let us all pray together. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for these kids and help them to remember that you have built us as Christians to be the ultimate team. That we need big kids, we need small kids, we need strong kids, and we need smart kids. And when we are all working together, we are on Jesus' team and we are all winners. For you love each and every one of us. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen. Thank you all very much. Grab a treat before you go. Oh, careful, Brandon. Grab your Rice Krispies. There you go. You may remain seated as we join together in song as we sing In Christ There Is No East or West.
Thank you. gracious God, we ask that you open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to your message today, that you inspire us to live out our faith in all we say, all we do, and all we pray. In your name, amen. So when we look at our gospel text today, Mark 9, verses 30 to 37, it makes me think about organizations and jobs and all the tasks that we have. And I've always wondered what the companies we work for would look like if the first task of a newly elected CEO or supervisor or boss, if the first task they carried out was to volunteer to be the janitor the first few months in office. What would that company look like? How would your perspective of that leader change? How would it impact how that leader delegates and uses their authority? See, I wonder if a leader was willing to step up and be humble like that, if it would build more compassionate leaders in our world. Because I find personally it's much easier to respect someone if you know that at some point that person rolled up their sleeves and performed the same task that you are doing now, that they've been there with you. Now, the reverse could be said of us common folk as well. What if 1 week a year we had to work the first jobs we ever had? 1 week a year you had to work the first job. What were some of your first jobs, people? You can shout them out if you want. Okay. Who was fast food industry? Any fast food industry there? Where was your?
Wendy's.
Floyd, where were you?
Burger King.
Taco Bell. Okay. Tyler, I think your first job's still coming. Letitia, did you have one?
Yeah, I work for an insurance
guy. Okay. Gotcha. How many people, McKenna, where's your first job? It was for your dad, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Working as a waitress. How many people were waiter or waitresses? We got a few of those. Yep, you learned the difficulty of customer service. How many of you were community people, like lifeguards or something of that nature? You did a summer camp thing. Yeah, Emily in the back, that was one of her first jobs. Also at Chick-fil-A too, so she got to learn about all the my pleasure service that you guys get to do at Chick-fil-A. And so I wonder if that 1 week a year, if we had to work at Wendy's, if we had to work for our parents, I know many of us, our first jobs were our chore list that we got. And some of them, that was unpaid labor for a lot of us. And imagine what that would be like if you were that lifeguard, that fast food worker, working in insurance. How would that change how you would go back to your current job if you worked that 1 week a year doing that? Because I know for me personally, if I had to spend a week as a Little League umpire and working in a convenience store, I think that would minimize my complaints about how often I have to work on Sundays. I'll tell you that. Because humility, being humble in what we do and who we are, is such an important character trait. That's why Jesus pushes it so strongly in this message. Because Jesus' humility is what separates him from so many others who claim to be God or the Messiah. Because he's willing to see himself with the people next to him. Because Jesus gets his greatness from his sacrifice. Jesus' power comes from his willingness to be wounded. Think about that. All the other gods, all the other belief systems, their authority comes from their power. But Jesus' authority comes from his willingness to lay down his life for each of us. And that is what makes him the ultimate servant leader. One of my favorite theologians to study in seminary was a guy named Albert Schweitzer. And Schweitzer was a famous theologian in the 20th century, but he was also a medical doctor who dedicated his life to medical missions in Africa, serving thousands of patients who did not have access to health care. But he was also a man of great humility. He was asked one time why, as a doctor, a man of such great prestige in society, why would he sit in third class with the other poor people and the undesirables in society? And Schweitzer looked the person in the eyes who asked him that question. He said, "The only reason I sit in the third class is because they haven't made a fourth class yet. That's how humble he was. He was always willing to be next to the people that he was serving. I think of the famous basketball coach John Wooden, who built the UCLA dynasty in the 60s and 70s. I was reading it from a speech, actually, recently, that John Wooden was famous for after, in the middle of the week, John Wooden was the guy who built Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Bill Walton, and he built one of the longest winning streaks in the history of college basketball. Well, you know where you could find him in the middle of the week? He'd be taking a broom out of the closet, and he'd be sweeping the gym floor at UCLA. That's how humble he was. Imagine if Urban Meyer, after a big win, after a big Ohio State victory on Sunday morning after a big game, was seen sweeping the stands, picking up garbage. Humility is such an important trait. And we as Moravians, as a people, we pride ourselves, ironically, in being humble evangelists. Because we aren't going to throw our faith in your face with pamphlets and yard signs. But we believe that small acts of Christ-like kindness can show our loved ones what Jesus has done for us. Our founding father said it best, John Huss, "Live like Christ and you will know Christ well. Live like Christ and you will know Christ well." So how are you showing the love you receive from Christ in your world? How are you showing how humble you are? Your willingness to work, your willingness to go the extra mile, even when it's not expected of you. And we look at the second half of this scripture. Jesus says, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." Brothers and sisters, are you making room in your life for children, for joy, laughter, and silliness? All those important and small things. A wise man once said, "God created us because he thought we might enjoy it." You were created because you were meant to experience joy in your life. Don't ever forget that, even in the hard times. Life is precious, but it's also a habit. We turn everything we do daily into a habit. We have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich on a Tuesday because we had it on Monday. That's just the type of people we are. And it becomes so easy to become locked into a routine that we forget to make room for those important interruptions. You know, those interruptions like playing catch with our child, accepting an invitation to a four-year-old's tea party, or offering the greatest present we can offer, which is simply our presence, to be with somebody. Because our children may not remember the expensive toys we bought them 30 years ago, but I guarantee they will remember the days that you showed up and you spent time and invested in them. That's important. Your presence is the most important thing you have to offer. Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. It almost sounds paradoxical, doesn't it? If Jesus' greatness did not come from feeding his ego, but he nurtured and cared for those around him. There was no one beneath the love of Christ. There was nobody that Jesus was too proud to go to. Whether it was an Israelite, whether it was a Gentile, there was nobody that Jesus could not touch. And it's an important reminder for each and every one of us. There is nothing we can do that makes us unworthy of Christ's love. And the beautiful thing about Christ's greatness is that you don't need a 5 or 10 year plan to achieve it. You can't be too young or you can't be too old to receive it. Everyone right now has the ability to serve someone and show them what Christ-like greatness looks like. If you want to see Christ in your world, you have to show it in your heart to the people around you. That's how this world knows that Christ is still here. You have to be the reflection of Jesus for them. And that way our world can see that Jesus is not just one person, but a movement based on loving kindness, on faith, and ultimately that leads us all to hope. Hope that the best in our world is yet to come. because we are loved by someone that we cannot repay. And that is a gift. And the greatest thing that we can do with the gift that we receive in Christ's love is to share it with one another. So your challenge this week as you go out is to be that reflection of Christ for those who need it. Because you never know when's that last chance, that last opportunity you're going to get with somebody. But you have that opportunity today to share that light. So brothers and sisters, please let your light shine. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are so thankful that you taught us to be humble. You taught us to share. And please help us to not feed our egos, to become prideful people. Because we are at our best when we are serving each other, when we are giving everything we have for your cause. So when we go out into this world, help us with faith, hope, and love to be the reflection of Christ for a world that desperately needs it. In your loving and gracious name we pray. Amen. At this time, I invite you to stand as we join together to sing one of our Moravian favorites, Join We All With One Accord. Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.